Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a name that, well, it pretty much speaks for itself, Ferrari. When you hear Ferrari, what comes to mind? For us, and probably for you too, it's speed, isn't it? Power, performance, precision. Maybe that iconic red, it's just synonymous with the ultimate driving machine. Today we want to unpack the story behind this truly iconic brand, explore its history, the innovation, and really dig into why it holds such an unparalleled status, not just in cars, but, you know, culturally. And just to set the stage, think about this. Brand Finance rated Ferrari the world's most powerful brand back in 2014. And then there's the collector market. A 1964 Ferrari 250 GTO sold privately for, wait for it, $53.5 million. Astonishing.
It really is. You've hit the nail on the head. Ferrari is so much more than just a car manufacturer. It's become this global symbol, hasn't it? A label of esteem. For serious enthusiasts, sure, but also just for people who appreciate the, well, the finer things. What we're looking at today is that journey. From its founding in 1939, right up to the incredible machines they're producing now. It's a story packed with innovation, fierce rivalries, and this unwavering commitment to being Ferrari.
Okay, let's peel back those layers then, starting right at the beginning. Italy, 1939. That's when Enzo Ferrari founded Auto Avio Costruzioni after leaving Alfa Romeo. But the key moment, the birth of the car company as we know it, that was 1947. That's when the very first Ferrari-badged car, the 125S, was completed. That wasn't just launching a car. It felt like a statement.
Absolutely. A declaration of intent.
Yeah. Imagine seeing that 125S and its sibling, the 159S sports prototype, hitting the track. These early racers, I mean, they're almost mythical today. Priceless artifacts, really. And things moved fast. By 1948, Europe's still rebuilding, but Ferrari's already expanding. Models like the 166 Inter, the 166S, the roofless 166 Inter Sport, the 166 Millimama, they were paving the way. These weren't just quick cars for the time. They had this aura, didn't they? Prestige, provenance, real class, even without the kind of performance we expect today.
And that prestige was really cemented by that early independence you mentioned. What's fascinating is thinking about what that split from Alfa Romeo actually meant for Enzo. It wasn't just changing jobs, it was freedom. Freedom to pursue his own vision, completely unshackled from, you know, corporate decisions. He wasn't just building cars, he was building his cars, extensions of his racing soul. And that allowed Ferrari to jump straight into international racing and make a mark almost immediately. It laid the groundwork for the prancing horse to become this distinct, formidable force. That competitive fire was there from day one.
And that fire just, well, blazed in the 1950s. That decade feels like a period of intense experimentation, some really defining moments for them. This is when we got cars that weren't just fast, they were genuine race-winning powerhouses. Mm-hmm. You think of the Ferrari 750 Monza, the 250 GT Berlinetta, the sheer force of the 410S.
Absolutely dominant machines.
Right. They were defining what a high-performance sports car could be. And it wasn't just the track, there was real glamour too. The 1957 Ferrari 250 GT California, I mean, that became the car for wealthy Europeans wanting that wind in the hair experience, pure style.
Such an iconic look.
And the racing success just kept coming. The Ferrari 250 Testarossa winning Le Mans in 58, 60, and 61. And interestingly, many of the road versions of these icons were bodied by Scaglietti. His coach building became almost as key to the Ferrari identity as the engines themselves.
Yeah, connecting this to the bigger picture, the 50s were absolutely crucial for establishing that dual identity Ferrari has. It wasn't enough to just win on Sunday. Enzo wanted people to desire the cars Monday through Saturday, too. That decade really showed how they could dominate in motorsport and be the ultimate luxury symbol. It's a balancing act very few brands ever manage, let alone sustain. And it set the stage for, well, everything that came next.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The 1960s, the stakes go way up, and Ferrari's story gets tangled up in one of the most famous rivalries in automotive history. That bitter, sometimes almost comical battle with Ford.
Oh, yes. The Ford versus Ferrari saga. It started, didn't it, with Ford trying to buy Ferrari.
Exactly. Ford, this huge mass market company, wanted Ferrari's racing prestige, basically to win Le Mans and boost their own image. Enzo led them on, then famously pulled the plug at the last minute.
Classic Enzo. And Henry Ford II, well, he didn't take that well. He basically declared war, aiming to beat Ferrari at Le Mans. And this rivalry, it wasn't just corporate egos clashing. It genuinely drove both companies to make huge technological leaps, didn't it?
Massively. For Ferrari, it meant pushing harder on things like lightweight chassis,
yeah,
getting more power and reliability out of those V12s for the endurance races like Le Mans. Ford's sheer budget forced Ferrari to be smarter, more innovative.
But here's the crucial difference, and it speaks volumes about Ferrari's core philosophy. Ford, fundamentally, was about, you know, affordable cars for the masses, the American everyman. Ferrari, even under pressure, never wavered from being an elite luxury brand. That principle holds true even today. It's fundamental to who they are. And even amidst that intense battle, the 60s produced some absolute legends. Two cars that are still among the most sought-after Ferraris ever, the stunning 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO and the beautiful 1967 Ferrari 275 GTB. Just timeless.
Timeless and incredibly valuable. Speaking of which, let's fast forward a bit to the 1980s. Innovation, prestige, it just kept climbing. And this decade led to a car that really feels like Enzo's final statement. You had the 1984 Ferrari 288 GTO, which people love for that pure 80s look, but also its strong chassis, low weight, a serious machine. But then, 1987, the Ferrari F40. This car is legendary for so many reasons, but maybe the biggest is that it was the last Ferrari personally approved by Enzo Ferrari before he passed away. It was built for the company's 40th anniversary.
And his brief was simple, wasn't it? Create the finest, most uncompromising performance car on the planet. No excuses.
And did he succeed? Many would say absolutely.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? What is it that makes certain cars transcend being just, well, machines and become these priceless artifacts? The F40 is one for sure, but maybe the ultimate example, the real holy grail for collectors, is that 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO we mentioned. Its value is just staggering. It's not just rarity. It's that perfect storm of design, engineering, and crucially, that dominant racing history.
Right, and we saw that play out spectacularly in 2018. A 62 GTO, one with amazing provenance. Phil Hill drove it to win the 1962 Italian GT Championship. It went under the hammer at Sotheby's.
And the price. A record-breaking £37 million at auction at that time, sold by Greg Whitten, the former Microsoft executive. It just shows the incredible blend of history, performance, and frankly, investment potential.
And you mentioned earlier that $53.5 million figure for a 64 GTO that was a private sale, also in 2018. It just underlines the insane demand, public auction or not.
Absolutely. These aren't just market fluctuations.
No, it's a whole different stratosphere.
Yeah.
And remember other big sales. A 250 GTO Berlinetta hit $29 million in 2014. A 57 335 Sport Scaglietti went for £26 million in 2016. They're more like rolling sculptures, pieces of art with incredible engineering.
Tangible links to motorsport history.
Exactly. But Ferrari isn't a museum piece, is it? They aren't just resting on that history. Let's bring this deep dive right up to the present day. They're still innovating, using that heritage as a foundation, not a barrier. Take the Ferrari A12 Superfast. I mean, this is the most powerful road-going Ferrari they've ever made with a traditional V12 engine. We're talking 800 CV, that's about 789 brake horsepower at a screaming 8,000 RPM.
A truly immense engine.
And technically, what's interesting for drivers who really know their stuff, it was the first Ferrari fitted with electronic power steering, EPS.
Yeah, that move to EPS in the A12 was actually a pretty big deal for Ferrari. Traditionally, enthusiasts loved that raw, unfiltered feel of hydraulic steering. But EPS allowed them to do much more sophisticated things with torque vectoring, integrating it seamlessly with stability control. So the car can subtly help the driver maintain control at really high speeds without losing that essential, you know, connection to the road. It's an evolution balancing power with usability.
Makes sense. And beyond the V12 flagships, their V8s are just incredible. The F8 Tributo mid-rear engine, two seats, the name says it all right, an homage to their most powerful V8 engine line. You can feel the lessons learned from their challenge and GT racing programs in that car.
Definitely race bred.
And then there's the F8 Spider, the open-top version. Still packs that monstrous 711 bhp twin-turbo V8, does 0-62 mile per hour in, what, 2.9 seconds? And the roof does its thing in just 24 seconds. Pure theater.
Impressive engineering for the roof mechanism, too.
Then you have the 488 Pista. You could argue this is the most powerful V8 car in their history, 720 CV. It started life conceived as a challenge race car, but was optimized for the road. It really set a new benchmark for what a turbocharged engine could feel like, incredibly responsive.
And connecting this back, you see how Ferrari offers this range, this diversity of experiences, but always anchored by extreme performance. It's not just track weapons either. Think about the GTC4 Lusso. Four seats, genuine practicality, all-wheel drive, still with a massive V12. Unveiled back at the 2016 Geneva show, it shows they can do grand touring luxury just as well.
Right, it's not all about lap times.
Exactly. Then there's the Roma. Another supercar. 611 bhp V8, but look at the design. It's more minimalist, almost understated for a Ferrari. Even the prancing horse badge is less prominent. It's about a different kind of elegance, perhaps.
A subtle flex?
Maybe. And for the classic GT vibe, the Portofino, two-door convertible, been around since 2017, launched for their 70th anniversary, it carries that traditional grand touring torch.
And then something really special, the Icona series. The Monza SP1 and SP2 are just breathtaking. What's the thinking behind those?
Ah, the Icona program. It's fascinating, really. The whole point is to create these very special, strictly limited edition cars that are direct nods to iconic Ferraris from the past. They blend that classic aesthetic with totally modern performance. And yes, they command extremely high prices, but you can see why. The Monza SP1 and SP2, for instance, they echo the classic Barchetta racers from the 50s.
Open top, minimalist.
Precisely, but yeah. Under the skin. They have the naturally aspirated V12 from the superfast, the most powerful Ferrari road car engine ever at the time, wrapped in gorgeous carbon fiber for strength and lightness. We're talking 0-60 in 2.9 seconds, top speed around 186 miles per hour. They're not just cars. They really are like functional sculptures. Heritage, technology, exclusivity, all rolled into one.
So after all that, what does this journey mean for you, listening in? We've traced Ferrari from Enzo's pure racing ambition through decades of dominance and fierce rivalries, right up to its status today as a global symbol of luxury, speed, design, exclusivity. What stands out is how they constantly innovate, always pushing automotive boundaries, yet they do it while deeply, consciously honoring their incredible history.
And that, I think, is the core of Ferrari's enduring magic, whether it's the jaw-dropping prices for vintage masterpieces, the legendary stories like the Ford rivalry, or the sheer thrill of their modern cars. The brand just keeps inspiring. It defines aspiration, which leaves us with a thought, perhaps. What truly elevates a brand, or specifically a car like a Ferrari, beyond just its mechanics and function? How does it become this timeless icon, this piece of moving art, this symbol that resonates so powerfully across generations?